You've heard the expression NIMBY, not in my backyard. A lot of people feel that way about pollution. My next guest developed a way to monitor and report dynamic air pollution at the neighborhood level. Dr. Gail Hagler works in the EPA's National Risk Management Research Lab. She started a project known as the Village Green and joins me now to talk about it. Dr. Hagler, great to have you on.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So tell us about the bigger project, Village Green, and then we'll get to the specific part that you built for it.
Sure. So the concept of what we call the Village Green Project came out of a need to find strategies to measure air pollution in areas where it's difficult to put industrial shipping container size monitors, monitoring stations that require power and space and are not necessarily aesthetically attractive, and also require a lot of technical expertise to maintain and time. And so we said, how could we design something that's fairly autonomous, small, even attractive, self-powered, so it doesn't require land power, and would be used for research or educational purposes and community outreach. So that was our big vision, is can we design something that would fit those parameters? That, for example, one of the needs we would hear is, you know, there's a daycare that's right next to a pollution source, and what could be put in the daycare playground to measure whether this is a problem or not? And there really wasn't technology ready to go for that kind of application. And the name Village Green came out of my hometown. I'm from a very small town in New Hampshire.
Oh, which town?
Amherst, New Hampshire.
Know it well. Really? Beautiful town. Yes, indeed.
Not many people have been there. So I once
worked in Hancock.
Okay. Yes. Yes. So Amherst, New Hampshire, very small, quaint town. And in the center of towns like that up in New England is a community gathering area called a Village Green. And that would be a park. And that's where people would come and, you know, meet up for community gathering events. And we said, how could we design something that would fit in that kind of community gathering space? So that's why it's called the Village Green Project.
All right. So what did you come up with?
Then we went into the whole engineering challenge of what is out there that could operate in this kind of a somewhat abusive situation where you no longer can have heating or air conditioning to maintain electronics. They have to, you know, be able to be powered just by solar or wind power. We looked into all kinds of different strategies. We even looked at kinetic power. Like, I had an idea of a swing set where kids were swinging and generating power. Then we looked into what's feasible. So we had this really broad array of ideas. And what we ended up coming up with was a park bench that has a pergola roof structure that has solar panels. And it includes wind temperature and humidity sensors and sensors for two pollutants, fine particulate matter, or what we call PM2.5, and ozone.
That would be almost like smoke.
Right. So they're very fine particles that are emitted by a number of different sources, and they are a health concern because they get deep into your lungs and are tied to a wide array of cardiac and pulmonary health conditions. Ozone and PM2.5 are two of the common air pollutants that are of concern in most urban areas in the United States.
So particulates and ozone are the two sensors. And so this is something that is now in production.
We have fully designed it, and we've released the design publicly. Not only was it the pollution equipment, there's also, we're using what's called an Arduino microprocessor. It's an open source technology. So we released the whole design schematics, and so it's out there if people want to replicate it. We have some groups we know that are working to build their own. And EPA is doing a pilot expansion. So we had our first prototype that was located in North Carolina, established 3 years ago. We're actually at our 3-year anniversary. And we've since then installed 6 more in different cities around the United States and are preparing to do one more late this fall.
And these devices have wireless capability to report back the data to some central place.
Right. So to get the full vision, we had to go through how could we transmit the data. Because if someone's visiting the bench or in the neighborhood, they'd like to know the air pollution that moment. So could we record data very quickly, qualify it, make sure that everything's working properly, and make the data available almost instantly? And we're able to report values effectively to the minute of the measurement, and this 1-minute data, and the data is all available on a website.
We're speaking with Dr. Gail Hagler. She's an environmental engineer at the EPA Office of Research and Development. And we should mention that for your work, you have received an Arthur S. Fleming Award, very prestigious federal service award. Must have been good to get that.
It was a huge surprise. If you look at the past award recipients, you think there's no way that, you know, I would be selected to be in this group. So it's amazing to have that honor. And it was a really exciting ceremony and to meet the other people from different federal agencies and that are working on a huge variety of different topics.
Right, tell us about yourself a little bit. How did you get into this work? What interested you in environmental engineering and science?
For me, it dials back to a summer I spent as an undergraduate at Georgia Tech, where I actually was...
Far from Amherst.
Far from Amherst. Decided I wanted to go try a new part of the country for college and, you know, dive into engineering. And I ended up spending a summer in Northeast China. And
really far from Amherst.
Really far from Amherst and very far from being in a pristine hometown where, you know, you could see every star at night in New Hampshire. And in Dalian, China, I did not see blue skies for weeks, and all I saw was this haze, and I didn't know much about it. But once I went back to Georgia Tech for my fall classes, I've been deciding whether I wanted to be a structural engineer or an environmental engineer, some subspecialty of civil engineering. And I said, I'm, you know, now really interested to learn about environmental engineering and really go into air, what they call air pollution engineering. And so that I just dove in deep, and then I continued on and actually did most of my graduate work back in China and studying air pollution there. And then since being at EPA, most of my work is still local, but we actually do have one of our Village Green station prototypes that's a roof-mounted version operating now over in Hong Kong. So those, I feel like we went the full circle back to doing some work over there.
Well, it must be gratifying to see how the United States is with air pollution. I mean, when I was a kid, there was smog and, you know, these inversions over Los Angeles. They put pictures in the paper. I'd say the air is a whole lot cleaner now here than it was 30, 40, 50 years ago. China is still a developing nation in many ways, and so they've got a much further way to go. Sounds like there's a lot that our U.S. EPA could show China as it goes forward as a world power.
Right. And I actually did what they call an embassy science fellowship in Hong Kong, working with the U.S. consulate there. And one of my questions there was, you know, what does the United States have to say about China's air quality? And, you know, I basically told the story that we went through our whole transformation and developed all these technologies to be able to maintain our quality of life while reducing pollution. So the vehicles on the roads are so much cleaner than they used to be. Our power plants emit so fewer pollutants. Overall, what we call the regional air pollution in the United States has gradually improved to be so much better than it used to be. There's still a lot of areas we call hotspots or, you know, challenge areas where air quality is definitely still a concern. There's some cities in the United States where they do have still regional level concerns, but we've come a very far way, and there's a lot of lessons we do try to engage and teach internationally and partner with other countries to help them on their trajectory.
And what's your ambition past Village Green? What do you hope to achieve next at the EPA?
What has been taking more and more of my time and is very exciting is some of the buzzwords around it are Internet of Things or sensors and smart cities. And it's getting into how can you measure the environment using very miniaturized sensors, a mobile type platform. So we've recently developed a lunchbox size package that can measure location and particles in the air and temperature and humidity every 10 seconds while you're walking or biking around. And we're seeing how well that works. And across the world, everybody's diving into seeing what are the capabilities of these technologies. Can I get value out of having 1,000 sensors that are cheap that may produce poor quality data, but you have so many more of them. So,
or a billion of them around the world.
Or a billion of them around the world. And people have visions of that scale. So it creates a whole lot of new engineering, scientific challenges. And it's very exciting, very challenging. And we're diving in deep.
Dr. Gail Hagler is an environmental engineer at the EPA Office of Research and Development. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.